In a way, aren't we all Spartacus?
It's Flicks and That with Steve Newell.
Hello, there is one. But before that, I want to talk to you about some stuff I've been watching.
Yes.
Amazon Prime Video on the weekend launched a new movie called The Tomorrow War. Studios spend around $200 million on this Chris Pratt action sci-fi movie, and it sucks.
So wait, it's just going straight to streaming, and they spent $200 million on it.
Yeah, there's time travel. Chris Pratt gets signed up by an army in the future to fight aliens.
Wait, they can't recoup anything at the box office.
No, but it's okay, because Amazon has slave labor and doesn't pay tax, so it doesn't really matter. We can say it on the radio.
Spoiler alert, there's Amazon in the future as well that they go to.
Yes, I mean, you could, whether you want to interpret it as Amazon being the aliens or Amazon being the conscripting future force, it's up to you.
The aliens aren't really interpreted at all.
It's now, the thing that now look, the people have spoken, the critics are all wrong, the people love this movie, but nah, it sucks.
Chris Pratt's done some sit-ups.
Yeah, maybe not. I don't think he's done as many as normal. He's done more than Parks and Rec, but he hasn't done as many as Guardians of the Galaxy. So if you're charting this on the Chris Pratt sit-up scale, now you know where it falls. Also saw Black Widow, the new Marvel film, and this is a middling Marvel movie that is elevated a bit by great performances by Florence Pugh and Stranger Things David Harbour. They are funny as F, but the movie's kind of just Marvel Ave. So
do we need more Marvel movies?
I don't know.
Do they have to write the comics first? How does it?
Should maybe just write them a letter.
And are they going to go in the other direction? What they
backwards.
Will it go from movies and then turn to comics at some point? Has it done that ever?
I mean, surely. Surely.
I don't know how the rhythm works.
Surely someone is still capable of writing a comic and the modern era. Anyway, that's sort of what I've been watching. But you could watch those things, or you could do what everyone else is going to be doing and watch the first episode of Taskmaster New Zealand Season 2 tonight. This is on 8:30 on TVNZ2 and also on TVNZ On Demand shortly after that. I feel like a rabbit on about the show all the time. So if you haven't taken my recommendations, I am personally offended. But as backup for why you should watch it, we are joined by Taskmaster New Zealand contestant Guy Montgomery.
It's true, Steve, I'm here. There's simply no denying it. And I am on Taskmaster New Zealand Season 2 starting tonight, so we're kicking goals.
Awesome. There's it's good to have 100% accuracy in this segment.
You said contestant. Is there a winner and a loser at the very end? Is there a placement?
There is. There's one winner and four losers, I guess, yeah. Or four right. Contestants okay. Who didn't win.
No. Four losers.
Yes,
come on.
Yeah. Four losers.
Let's be honest with the audience.
One of the unique and appealing parts of Taskmaster is it's across 10 episodes, the season spans 10 episodes, you are cumulatively accruing points. Mm. And so there's a sort of...
It is relevant then, kind of.
Well,
I thought the points...
Is there a prize?
The prize is a golden bust of Jeremy Wells' head, which is hugely desirable. Mm. You know, would sit well on any mantelpiece.
Is it on display at all times?
On the show?
Yeah.
Yes, it sits just next to his actual face, which sort of makes for an alarming disparity in the quality of the workmanship. But yeah, the tasks themselves are all inane and infuriating and meaningless, but inevitably because... Your job on the show is to fulfill or perform the tasks, you take it very seriously. Mm. And you get to see people applying themselves to something totally frivolous with real single-minded focus and fail. And so you get to watch a variety of people come apart on screen.
It's interesting to watch perceptions play out as well, and like ideas and different people's take on things. Really.
Yes. Yeah. Well, that's part of the joy of the show is some of the tasks are quite constricting in that there's a time limit or there's a very clear direction in which you're being funneled, but
it's
then
the
others are
isn't it?
Lateral, yes. They love to say all the information you need is on the task.
Have I seen a short like teaser trailer with the contestants making themselves a pair of wings and running off the dock?
Yes.
That sounds like a fun task.
So that task, I'm not sure in what episode it is, and I don't even know that I can say this.
That's an episode one.
Oh, okay.
That's in tonight's episode.
Well, I can say this much. The task was...
I saw it on TV, so...
Yeah. The task was to fly. So you open it up and it says fly. Best fly... Like best flight wins. You have 30 minutes. And so you've got 30 minutes to conceive how to represent or achieve flight.
It's age old.
Yeah. It's genuinely, as a comic, it's the holy grail of formats. Like, I've done other panel shows in New Zealand, and, you know, I can't imagine anyone who works on them is listening, but I'm grateful for the work. But they are much more constricting in that you're sort of funneling a version of yourself into the parameters of those shows. Yeah. But Taskmaster is, you're just representing yourself. You're putting your entire brain on display for people to laugh and ridicule, because there's no... You know, there's no... if you go in there with any sort of facade, it will collapse immediately because you're under pressure. Mm. And, I mean, you have to know that you're going to be humiliated when you say yes to doing the show.
Yeah, totally.
And you have to make peace with that before time. It doesn't make it any less infuriating.
You're somewhat set
happens.
Up to fail most of the time anyway, so it's kind of best to embrace it and have a bit of fun. Right?
Absolutely. It's the holy grail of panel shows. Also, like, it's timeless because all of the show exists in a vacuum. It's not like... relevant to what's happening in the world today or tomorrow or
you
last
a whole
week.
You've season, haven't you? You
just, yeah. So you do 5 days in the Taskmaster house. So you go and perform tasks on 5 different days across 5 weeks. Mm-hmm. And then you're not allowed to talk to the other contestants about what you've been doing at all. They save all of that. And then you shoot out the studio component in 5 days. You do 2 episodes a day across 5 days in the studio, which is when you're watching back what you've done and what all of the other comedians have done in real time. And then you sort of quibble and you argue and you're rude and mean to one another. And you're litigious and you try and fucking lacerate your friends so that they don't get points and you get points. And it's ultimately a comedy show, but the competitive spirit gets inside of you. And that's even worse than being humiliated for failing, because you don't want to show people how much you care about things. It's embarrassing to care, especially in New Zealand.
Are there any team activities? Do you have to cooperate with
the
others?
Yes, so there's... the way the shoot works, you do 4 individual days of... shooting tasks by yourself, and then 1 day of team day. Mm-hmm. And so there's 5 contestants across the season. So 2 of the comedians get paired with each other, and 3 of the comedians get paired as a triple. And you do have to work as a team. And it's quite, I found that to be, initially to do that is quite challenging. So you've sort of got into a rhythm of doing it by yourself, and you're sort of familiarizing yourself with the mechanics of your brain and how all that works. And then all of a sudden you're benefited by the introduction of 2 other very creative brains, but also you're sort of hamstrung in that you don't have autonomy over everything you're doing.
Did you feel like you were going to do all right from like the first go? You're like, oh yeah, I like this.
I was unbelievably nervous
like
driving
flying
out
into
there.
Water, I guess, is the first one.
Yeah, you don't know that you're going to do well because you've got no control, and you know that they're making life as difficult for you as possible at certain times. Mm. I knew that I didn't care if I did badly, which I think in the context of Taskmaster is as good as thinking you're going to do well, possibly better than.
Yeah.
Once you sort of let all of the idea of representing yourself well or as intelligent or athletic or anything or coordinated, once you let that idea go out the window, then you're in a pretty good space. Possibly true in life as well. Just let people see how you are. You
steep,
know.
Steep program.
What was the what reserves did you find in yourself that surprised you? Was there an aptitude or anything that came as a surprise?
There was one task which was, it's akin to an escape room. It was, you were sort of solving a series of puzzles. Oh. And there's a huge amount of pressure on you. Beyond the pressure you put on yourself with your brain and the knowledge that this is going to be broadcast, there's also the fact that you've got a crew of people around you filming everything. So you've got sort of anywhere between 5 and 10 people who are literally just watching you try and figure something out or interpret something so that you can finish and they can break for lunch.
Many retakes?
No, there's no such thing as a retake in task. Like, if you fail, they will be very, very happy for that.
Okay, yeah, cool.
Do you feel like you had any true strokes of genius and or luck?
Luck?
Like, you're like, oh man, I've definitely won this one.
There are definitely ones where you think you've won it, and then but the thing
someone's
is,
thought totally differently.
Yeah, yeah, but then you watch it back and you don't know that you have. But I don't know that I had any real strokes of genius, and I don't know that I was particularly lucky. But you know, I didn't look like an idiot, and I wasn't unlucky.
Well,
I was just like,
we'll be the judge of that.
Yeah.
What time is it on tonight?
It's on tonight at 8:40 p.m. Right. You know, that's your classic prime broadcast time. You want to skip out those first 10 minutes, 8:30 to 8:40. That's garbage time. 8:40 is when the real telly starts. I think MasterChef might be on. I don't actually know what's on before it, but some show that refuses to be you know, shackled by the restrictions of broadcast television. And then it's on demand in perpetuity. And then every week it's on at 8:30, I guess, on Wednesday or there or thereabouts.
Good one to follow along.
It is. I honestly, it's the greatest professional experience. Apart from doing stand-up comedy, it's the greatest professional experience I've had in my life. It's the most fun I've had on any job. I'm so excited for it to come out, and I just want people to watch it. I want it to get made for, like, I want critical mass of people to watch it so that it can get made for another year next year and five other comedians in New Zealand can have the opportunity, because it is undeniably the greatest job in comedy in New Zealand right now. And I just want everyone to get a go. It was a dream.
I'll take.
Yeah. For one final piece of context, who are you sharing screen time with this season?
So the contestants are, in alphabetical order, David Correos, Guy Montgomery, that's me.
In the room.
Laura Daniel, Matt Heath, and Ursula Carlson. So you've got quite a wide variety of, you know, styles and comedy styles and personal styles and sort of levels of success. See, Ursula outstrips all of us, but you know, on Taskmaster, that's with Zip. She does go home to a much nicer house, but you know, that's none of my beeswax.
Seeing the first episode taping and seeing you five have your first live experience of niggling and pleading with Jeremy and attacking and trying to destroy each other, it's a really satisfying mix of individuals. And
yeah.
I can't wait to watch the rest of the episodes.
Yeah. There was a deep love and bond that took place between us backstage, which lent itself to a very aggressive sort of sibling-like hatred on camera. Matt Heath and David Correos in particular formed an immediate and powerful and lasting bond of friendship. And on screen, I've rarely seen two people be as rude to each other.
Well, that's tonight.
Voila.
Yeah.
Dunsky.
Perfect.
Thank you very much.
Hey, thanks, you. Guy. Hey, it's my pleasure. Thank you. I love this. I love the radio. I love it.
Do you want to give us a sting while you're here?
Yeah. I love the radio. It's better than any other media. Oh, and the best version of radio is 95 BFM.
Real auteurs use star wipes.
That was Flicks and That on 95 BFM.